Welcome back to the Unity TBR podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and I am super excited because this episode has two friends of mine where we chat about our favorites and the books that we're looking forward to in the new year. I hope that you enjoy this. For your convenience, it is going to be broken up into two different segments. So thank you for joining, and let's jump to it. So this week, very excited to talk about our top reads of 2023 and our most anticipated of 2024. And I'm here joined with Alyssa from Books to Grand by Alyssa Morgan and Kelly from The Cozy Bookworm. Thank you for joining me, ladies.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Okay. So should we go by alphabetical order of how we do this?
That means I get to start, so I'm okay with that.
Probably have more entries. We'll see. Okay, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Well, one of my favorite reads this year was Fairest of Heart by Karen Whittemeyer, which you knew was going to happen because she is one of the best authors out there. It is, and also because I love Snow White and fairy tales. And so Karen doing a Western fairy tale mashup was divine. It was amazing. And so she did Snow White, Fairest of Heart. It was excellent. 5 stars, 5 trillion stars, however you want to put it. The next one coming up next year is If the Boot Fits, and it's a Cinderella mashup. And I'm really excited for that one too.
Isn't she... Okay, do I have it right that the Cinderella mashup is actually like a gender swap Cinderella? Or is that wrong?
I don't remember, which is terrible of me, because I know I've read the description like 50 times, but...
I figured you would know, and I'm like, oh, isn't that, like, that's a cool, like, spin twist on it. It'll be interesting to see what she does with that. Like, I feel like so true to the fairy tale that everybody knows and loves in The Fairest of Heart.
And everything she touches is gold and 5 stars. So it's going to be fantastic no matter what she does. Just saying.
Okay, yep. Needless to say, Alyssa is Karen Whittemeyer fan number one.
Yes, I've gathered that. I like Karen Whittemeyer as well. I have not read that one, Alyssa, but I love the cover. It's beautiful. The Snow White one. Yes.
Yes. Well, both, and the Cinderella cover is out. It's really pretty too, so.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Okay, what do you have, Kelly? What's first on your list?
Well, you knew this was going to happen. Frasier, come on. Well, the whole series, but I had to pick a book out of the series.
I have a whole series.
Me too! Okay, I started with Frasier, and then down my list, I was like, oh, I feel bad. I left all the rest of them out, and so I started listing their little names, but yeah.
Are those Susan May Warren?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Minnesota Marshalls. Oh.
So good. So good. It's hard to pick a favorite book in that series, but if I had to, I think it was Frasier and or Creed, but I went with Frasier because, well, it was the first one. But
first one, I feel like we got the beginning of Frasier stories, and then Frasier had a big part to do in Creed as well. Like it's a very intertwined series. So it's not just like one thing's resolved and then it moves on to another thing. It's so intertwined. You can't really pick it apart because they overlap. And I loved how I was trying to think of like a way to say it. It's like, it gives you that feel to me. If you're watching like your favorite action, mystery, romance, adventure, like TV show, like it's just, and the way she released them all in one year, you just got that whole experience of just like, being able to just, for the lack of a better term, binge the series, because it felt like a long time in between each one, but
eternity, you know, eternity in between. Yes, that's what I love about, well, you and I know, I mean, I've talked to you about this before, but I just love her writing, and I do love the way she kind of just everyone fits together and everyone's storyline ties together, and just with all the brothers and sisters, it was so much fun, and it's the fun continues. So.
The sibling banter in that one and like the family relationship, like even more than the Montana Marshalls.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much a part of it. and just their individual character arcs and everything, just it was so good. I like as soon as she announced it, it's like, well, that's going to be on my favorites of the year list. And you know, and she delivered, and it's just why we know we can depend on her.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm still working on getting Alyssa to read him Susan May Warren.
Come on, Alyssa. You gotta do it. I know you're
convinced it's just a matter of time.
I know.
I'm convinced, though. So, you know, I just gotta prioritize it.
I know.
I'm a big historical Christian romance person. So I'm getting into the modern day suspense stuff, but it's and what has helped me get into it was Ronnie Kendig.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Elizabeth read first Ronnie Kendig this year, and it was just yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah. Well, I know that.
Well,
yeah. Hello. She is awesome. Ronnie's amazing.
So one of my favorite this year was the very first book I read this year, which doesn't always like happen. It started out of the gate amazing with Scandalous by Tamara Leigh.
Oh, I knew you were gonna mention that.
Oh, it was one that I was kind of like, and it almost surprised me, not that it should have, but I so loved the book two in that series that I'm like, oh my goodness, I had such a hangover, such like, they were so precious to me, that couple, that I'm like, yeah, it's going to be good, but am I going to love it like I did Beauteous? And I think at that part, so I'd like, I really was not expecting how, because she was taking a very, very serious topic of like, I don't think it's too spoilery to say how it was dealing with like people who get away or escape being convicted of the crimes that they commit, especially towards like young or underage kids. And so it's a very serious topic about even how grooming can happen, you know, in that time period. People have always been sinful and people. So she broached that just in a way that was so, it was so good for what it was. Like it never went into too much detail, but then it has the characters on the other side wanting justice. And it was like the balance between justice and revenge and when you need to move past to like forgiveness for your own faith life, not just to let somebody off the hook, but that it's not weighing on you. Like it was really, really, it was just so well done, along with like a marriage of convenience, kind of like forced marriage of alliance from rivals to lovers. Like, so of course then it was, it's Tamara Leigh at her, like it's fantastic. So.
Well, as you know, Nicole, just started the series like last week and I read Valorous and I'm in the middle of Beauteous and I love it and Scandalous is next and it's on my shelf and I'm very excited. So, you know, I can take that off my list because I knew you were going to bring it up.
Is this her new, I have not read Tamara Leigh. I know that is like horrific, but she is on my list because I've heard you, Nicole, and you, Alyssa, and Rebecca talk about Tamara Leigh. Is this her most recent series?
Yeah, it's the one.
Okay.
And I have found that I can pick up the beginning of this series without having a lot of knowledge of the previous series.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know. Okay.
I especially believe like Valorous really gave you a lot of like background into the other like two most recent series, because each one sometimes has like 7 or 8 books in them, so
wow,
like it's a lot, but it doesn't feel like, well, it doesn't feel like a lot for me because I've been pretty much caught up and I've been reading them as they come out, so I'm like, oh yeah, of course, you know, read the next one. But yeah, but actually I have two favorites of hers this year, and I'll just talk about that in now. And then I was like, oh, Scandalous was so amazing. I absolutely loved it. You know, how is she going to, you know, top, you know, I keep on doing the same thing, expecting the same. And then later on this year, she released three books, but Scandalous and Notorious, her most recent release. Notorious was really cool in its own way, because again, she took a character that she's been a side character in the previous two books, but she's kind of like, not really, like, you really didn't understand her and her point of view and everything like that. Like, you're curious about the hero, but it's kind of like, what on earth is she going to do with this heroine? And it was like, the best that I can describe it is like, almost like a Rahab retelling from the book of Joshua, but in a medieval setting. And it was just really well done, very tactfully done, but you know, she was in a very precarious situation, very perilous. And but yeah, it's so good. And of course, now I can't wait to read Perilous, which is in coming out sometime, she says, late, mid to late winter. So, and because she's an yeah, can't wait. It's going to be really interesting because she's pairing up some really unique characters that I haven't seen her really do this, I don't think, before. So it's going to be interesting to see how she does that. Okay. There's my long-winded thing.
We can always count on you to love her books. Yeah. And that's okay because she's amazing. Just like you can always count on me to love which author? Laura France.
Yeah,
me too. I love her too. She's awesome.
So I got to travel with her and I saw her again this summer and it was amazing. She is just as genuinely sweet in person as she is online, just so everyone knows. But I read, obviously, The Rose and the Thistle, which is the Scotland book, which, and I went to Scotland with her in 22. She pointed out different places that ended up being in the book. And she added a fiddle in there because I played my fiddle on the trip. And so she added a fiddler or two to the story naturally in the sequence of events. It was really cool. Yeah. So I love that one. But I also read Courting Morrow Little for the first time ever, which, where have I been? And have I been living under a rock somewhere? Because that was amazing. Obviously, I love both. Rose and the Thistle just won a Christie, which is amazing. And I just can't even begin to express how much I love that one. And then I also love Courting Morrow Little. Very different, but Laura nails any time period or setting she puts pen to. And it normally is accompanied by an insane amount of research. And it just creates this like breathtaking historical romance. And it's, I just can't wait. Seamstress of Acadie is her release. I mean, is it a new year without a Laura France book? I think not. That comes out, I believe, January 9th. It is on my Kindle right now, and my pre-order is in. So hopefully it's coming soon. But she also just announced an upcoming 1774 novel, which I believe is going to be next year. And Nicole didn't know that, so she's very excited.
Wait, 1774? Okay. I heard and that a lot. Oh, that's late for her.
No. She could do it if she wanted to, but she's doing 1774. She's going back to Revolutionary War, which Nicole and I love. So
very excited about
that. She just announced that, so that'll be really cool.
Oh, I miss that. You know, I had this feeling before we started recording. I'm like, I feel like Alyssa's going to bring up something that I have not heard. And I'll be like, I haven't heard that. And there you go. There it is. I just had that feeling.
Yeah. And it is, I believe, common knowledge, which is good because otherwise I wouldn't say it on there.
That one was on my list too, Alyssa, for looking forward to 2024, is The Seamstress of Acadie. I also read The Rose and the Thistle. I do love her books. I'm still catching up on her backlist. In fact, I've never read Courting Morrow Little. I'm working from her most recent ones, but I am so looking forward to the Seamstress one.
Yeah. I've been saving it. And so I'm going to read it probably. I normally read her stuff when I'm off for New Year's. It's typically nice. When I read it. And it's a good start to the year, always. So
that's awesome.
All right, Kelly, what do you have next?
What's on
okay, yours? So I have one that I, or two that I've loved this year, and I'm highly anticipating books 3 and 4 in the early new year. So I discovered Jennifer Rodewald this year, and I have a couple of hers on my list, but the series that I, the first two books are out, and books 3 and 4 are coming out in the new year. Well, actually, no, I think book 3 is coming out like right before New Year's. Jennifer Rodewald's Redemption Shores series, so Lakeshore Wandering and then Lakeshore Return, so good. So good. I don't know if y'all have read her, but Nicole has heard me like go on and on and on about her. The first one, Lakeshore Wandering, it was an amnesia trope, so there was some stretching of, okay, you know, this isn't, would not happen in real life, but the story itself was fantastic. And the way it's told is it follows the same characters. So things do not wrap up neatly at the end of book one, which I kind of am enjoying. In fact, I'm enjoying immensely. And so book two kind of picks up with the same characters where they leave off. And then books 3 and 4 kind of continues with the same people. So it kind of reminds me of the Cadence of Grace series by Joanne Bischoff, where you don't get everything tied up, but it's fun to kind of follow them for the long term. So I have enjoyed those two. And then I'm looking forward to books 3 and 4 in the series very quickly in the new year. So love it.
I feel like that's not very done very much. Like, and part of me is like, oh, I want a little bit of resolution, you know, at the end. But like, once you're sucked into a story, a series like that, it feels like no time at all. Like, it's like, oh, 3, 4, 5 books with the same couple. It's absolutely fine as long as you, you know, when you tell that story.
Yeah, it's kind of like a family deal. And so it has the main couple, and then there's the brother of the heroine, and he has his own problems. And so you kind of follow two sets of people, you know, two males and two females, and all the host of characters around them. But it's just really, it's nice because it's more of a realistic case for redemption. These people have major problems, which is satisfying to see kind of them all start to change and see the Lord working in them. And so it's just, I like it, and I love her writing style. It's cool.
Yeah, I know I have that one that you talking about this year. It's like I have it on my TBR list that I'm like, oh,
whatever. Yes.
And I'm saving it.
When I Come Home Again is fantastic. That was another one of mine. I'll go ahead and mention her now. But yeah, When I Come Home Again was one of those that it was like free or something. And I downloaded it, kind of sort of forgot about it. Sorry, Jennifer. But then I was just going through my Kindle, you know, like, oh, what am I going to read? I'm going to read. And that one popped up and I was blown away. So good.
Yeah. So, so I'm going to go with one talking about, I guess, since we're on the subject of like sagas and multiple book series, I'm going to talk. I finished the Drosaren Saga by Ronnie Kendig, her space opera. And there may be a whole episode like later on about just that series. It is that good. This is to me what an epic series should feel like when you finish it. Multiple layered characters, so deep. The emotions that you go through in this book, I don't even know how she invokes those emotions, but she does it superbly. The world building is like out of this world, but for me, who's a sci-fi softie, I read Brand of Light when it came out, excuse me, in 2019. I waited until this year when the fourth book came out to finish, because I was such an emotional wreck after reading the first book. I knew I could not handle spaces in between these books. Like, it's one thing with Susan May Warren's when they're all come out in a year and that's okay. Not the case with this one for me. Like, it was a year between each release, but like, oh my goodness. I feel like a big part of me being able to like jump in and really get it is the story starts on a planet with a culture and a civilization that doesn't have the technology that you expect in a sci-fi. So it almost felt, in my mind, medieval. So it's like, so my mind kind of clicked into this world where they have horses and they do, you know, the mounted horseback and the fighting from a horse. So it felt medievalish, but in a whole different universe where there's outside cultures with, you know, the ships that fly. And, you know, so
I met Ronnie this summer and she told me about that medieval aspect and I bought the first one. So I'm totally hooked.
Yeah.
I need to read it.
You do. And you'll need to read the whole. Yeah. If you get to the end, when you get to the end, I will be here for emotional support because I actually, this year, as I finished it, messaged Ronnie and told her that I apologize for the things that I said after the first book.
That's so funny.
It was so, but it's that good. Like to me, but then I'm like, okay, all three books are out. I'm going to finish this series. And I went into book two thinking I'm this way and I am not going to change about these characters. And my opinions are set in stone. Ronnie, you cannot change me. I'm like 20% into the book. And I'm like, Ronnie Kendig is a master. And I'm okay with where is this going? Like, book two was almost my favorite because it like so dawned on me. Like this series is like, it should be studied. Like it's good. Like it's classic level. I can't even like, yeah.
Wow. That is high praise. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And she sucks you in with that, but it's really about what the characters go through. Like all the it's not about flashy, super technical talk. It's about what these characters go through. And it will take you through all the emotions. Every emotion that you've had, you will feel it through this series. And maybe even some emotions you haven't had.
Well then.
It's such a talked about series. You and I, Nicole, we've discussed this. I didn't tell you this. I did acquire book one to go along with book two and book three. So the only one I have left to acquire is book four, and then I am gonna start it. But it's funny how it's amazing. It's a testament to Ronnie's talent as an author. All the people, and I'm sure it's the same way with y'all. I follow a wide range of people. People that only read historical. People only read contemporary. People that only read rom-coms. People that only are very, very, very specific about what they read. I am not that person. I just love stories. You know this about me. But it's amazing how that series unites people. Because people that you would never think. There was a girl that I'm like, you read that series? And I was messaging her about it, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how traumatized am I going to be? Like, just like I did with you. And she was like, oh, you have to have all the books. Don't wait in between. So you made a smart call there. But she's like, it is the most incredible thing. She kept saying it's hard to put in to words what it, you know, it's hard to put into words the series. And so I just think it's cool how it appeals to people that really like me. I'm not even big sci-fi person, that's just not my thing, but I am so pumped to start it. I did acquire book one. I've been acquiring them as I've seen them go on sale, or you know, as I've been able to. So
yeah, no, it is so worth it. But I do feel like I'm gonna put it like, don't ask me for spoilers, because you have to experience spoiler free, and it is like the unspoken rule. Even people that I know that sometimes give me spoilers would not give me spoilers, because you have to experience it. And yeah, it's so good. It's classic level. I stake my mark my words, it's classic level. So
yeah. Well, I'm gonna take over now. No, I'm just kidding. I am gonna talk about Pepper Basham. She had a very wide range of things released, and I was so lucky to read some of them early. Obviously, I loved Positively Penelope because I was so excited about it, because it was about theater that she put me in the little, you know, acknowledgments, because I was just like so excited. Penelope in Positively Penelope, which comes after Authentically Izzy. It has a theater twist. I just adored it. As the theater nerd that I am, I know, I loved it. And Loyally Luke is coming out next year. I have read it. It is so good. Everyone will love it.
Well, the thing is like, Luke, I feel, was like a fan favorite right from the beginning of Authentically Izzy. Like, there was just so many things that I'm like, oh my goodness, Luke sounds like my brother. Like, he just like a guy. So funny. To me, it was like, I always love Luke's text, so.
Yeah, and Pepper has delivered Luke's story very well. I think I put in my little blurb 5 trillion stars because she did it so well. But she also does historical. And one of my favorite Christian fiction books of all time is The Mistletoe Countess. Thank you, Nicole, for recommending that once upon a time.
Yep.
And the sequels released this year, The Cairo Curse. I think it released this year. I can't remember when I read it. I read it twice now. And Juliet Code, which did just release. Yeah. And they are the continuing adventures of one of the best literary couples ever, Freddie and Grace, and they're in Egypt and then they're in Venice, and I just love the newlywed romance, the mystery, the adventure, the action, the humor that is always present in Pepper's books. Those are always, I mean, it's just gonna be, it, yeah, it's just so good. So just pick up the whole series, just read it, trust us, because it's amazing.
I know.
I've only read The Mistletoe Countess, and it's so good. I haven't read the other two. I have The Cairo Curse, but one thing I do love about Pepper's writing, both for historical and the one that she's, that whole series with Freddie and Grace, is she writes such great humor, but such substance right alongside it. You know, you never feel like it's shallow. You get a wonderful story with depth and characters with depth, but it's funny. So funny. I have not done the Authentically Izzy in the whole series yet, but I have read Mistletoe Countess and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, you need to read Authentically Izzy in that whole series. You need to read Cairo Curse and you need to read Juliet Code. And I'm just telling you this. You can tell me something later, but I'm commanding. No, I'm just kidding. You all love it.
And this next year, I'm really excited for her new release. Oh, great. I didn't write down the title. But it's Kizzy's Story.
I almost mentioned that. I'm very excited for that, too.
Because that was... Kelly, have you read...
Laurel's Dream or The Heart of the Mountains?
I've done Laurel's Dream, and then what is the other one that's adjacent to that?
The Heart of the Mountains.
Yes, I've read those two, because, yes, I have those on my Kindle.
So there's, like, that missing sister, and we finally
get
the story. So I'm, like, really curious.
So that's coming out in 2024?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's exciting.
Very excited. Yes, right? I even got my mom and my grandma to read those because I have Appalachian heritage in my family, and they loved them. So I told my mom when I found out that she was doing Kizzy's Story for real, and my mom was like, oh, yes, this is going to be so good.
That's exciting, man. I'm going to have to add that to my 2024 list now. Man.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does that. Okay, Kelly, what's yours?
Let's see here. What should I do next? Let's see. Oh, okay. This one goes along with what I'm excited for in 2024. So The Huntress by Kerry Cotton was one I read this year, and I absolutely loved it. There's not a release date for the second book, but she said that I can talk about it. So there's the side character, and Nicole, you read it, Astrid.
Yeah.
That one's coming in 2024, and I may have read some snippets of it, and yeah, so excited. My favorite character. So it's called The Huntress. It's set in Scotland in the 17 and 1800s. Or I'm sorry, 800 AD. So late 700 AD, early 800 AD, and so good. But the second book is one I'm also looking forward to in 2024. And it follows one of the side characters, Astrid, who ended up, I think, being my favorite character out of the Huntress.
I agree.
Her and Eowyn.
Her interactions with that, who I'm hoping is the hero for that book. What was his? I forgot his name.
Eowyn. Yeah. Is how she's. Yeah. Yeah. They're funny.
I just loved her every time she was on page. She was just like such a dynamo. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. It's something that's the like, Viking thing going, and she's harsh, but like that soft character with her friend. And just the interaction between her and Eowyn just made me roll. Like, it just made me roll. And they, they're amazing. So, loved the Huntress, but dying for book two and dying for a release date, but have yet to get one, Gary. So,
but I feel like, those characters that are like very deeply loyal always like get me really, really good. Definitely. Okay, so I read something that was actually quite different from the rest of my list. I feel like this was like such a, like, it's such a mashup, my favorites list, but I was absolutely talking my family's ear off the series. I talked Kelly's ear off of this with the series. It was it was a duology called The Nadae Rising by Jess Corbin. It's a gentle tyranny and a brutal justice. It's a wild dystopian fantasy, but unlike any other, it's the only one that I've ever read of its kind, because it's a dystopian fantasy, but it's set futuristic in like the jungles of South America. So it's like so off of your normal, what you kind of see going around. And the reason I was so talking my ears off, because I feel like there was such an interesting twist to this. I loved how it felt very accurate in like content, language, interest of the characters to the age of like the YA audience. It didn't feel like a 12-year-old talking to old, or old people talking to young. Like, it felt like I was thinking, man, you know, when I was 14, because it had a girl who loved her horse and did all these things with her horse and wanted, you know, it was a very much a coming of age story. But I'm like, I would have read this when I was 15. And I don't say that about every YA that I've read. So I feel like it had that going for it. But it also had, in its kind of like conflict and moral dilemmas in the story, it had so much on like, should one gender ever have complete control over another? What about free will? What about, you know, at what point does complete control become tyranny? Or without that control, is it right for the people who can get harmed? Like, there's so many deep questions in this book, and I've never seen it portrayed in this way. Like, when I read the description, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like this. But I can't remember why I decided to dive in. I think she got some like really, really bad reviews. And I'm like, I should find out for myself. And I was like blown away with how she did it, because it felt very, it really brought some things to light. Like, man, I didn't even think about it in those terms or what those consequences would be. So really powerful. And I think that was like kind of out of the norm. It's like, it wasn't my usual read, but I'm really glad that I read it. So, yeah.
I remember you talking about those two books, Nicole, and I believe it was because I remember you saying you kept seeing mixed reviews, and some of the critical reviews were things that you would not be critical of. And so I remember you saying, I've got to check it out. And then all the messages like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I remember that.
Yeah, I know. My poor brother, it's like, if there's nobody to talk to and he's like there, he doesn't, you know, read the comments that I read. So I can ramble on, spoiler, you know, free with him. He's like, he doesn't care, but it was like, it was really some cool conversations about it. So yeah, that was something that I think she did very well. So yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Well, first of all, I loved everything. I love everything Rachel Scott McDaniel writes. Oh, everything she writes is gold.
So good.
The Starlet Spy. Spy this year, especially, so good. Action. She does perfect pacing and yet includes action, adventure, intrigue, romance, and humor.
I know.
And spiritual truths all in one perfectly paced package. How? It's always
and you would think
always amazing.
You would think her books would have to be like 400 pages long to get all that in
and
there.
And they're not.
No.
They're not.
Yeah.
I think when I read The Starlet Spy, and I do this sometimes, but it's not often that I do this and ignore that I'm super hungry. I sat down at like in late afternoon and read and looked up and I was like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. Oh, I'm starving. I didn't eat dinner, but I didn't notice because I was in another world in this book.
Oh, I know.
Which you that can do when you don't have to feed a family and you're like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. Oh, because it was so good. It was amazing. And her upcoming release.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Well, I'm beating you to it. Walking on Hidden Wings. It's a marriage of convenience, which everybody knows is my all-time favorite trope.
Yeah.
So not only will we have all those things that I mentioned in a perfectly paced package, it will also have my favorite trope. I'm so excited. Rachel, if you're listening to this, you're awesome. Please continue to write, because everything you touch turns to gold.
Yeah.
Agreed. She's on my list. That one, the future one was on my list as well. I couldn't remember the title, but Nicole, I think you did you do a podcast with her where she was kind of telling you sort of a little bit about her when she was writing that one? And I remember in the back of my brain being like, oh, I got to look for that one. Thanks. She's phenomenal.
It was so funny. I remember when she was talking about like The Starlet Spy, and then, you know, and she also had Spotlights and Shadows come out this year too.
Yes. Which was also so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm so pumped for Walking on Hidden Wings. Like, I love also because of brother influence, but it's like I know like more about like the biplane brain barnstorming stuff than I probably should.
More than your average reader.
So I'm really excited because it's like, okay, this is something that I have not seen done at all in Christian fiction, is that whole little pocket of history where you had some crazy stuff in the sake of like entertainment. It's like the stuff that they would do on plane is bizarre, and it almost sounds like something out of a fantasy thing of what people would do.
Well, and she does all those little pockets so well. Hollywood, Hollywood star turned into a World War II spy. She's done, you know, the mob in Pittsburgh. She's, I mean, all sorts of crazy little pockets you don't see a lot done. And she does it so well.
I know. Yeah, I love the variety that you get from Rachel Scott McDaniel. You know, she just has so cool. So, yes.
And her heroes are Sony.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you cut it not ahead of me, but you stole one from me, kind of sort of, Alyssa. I loved The Starlet Spy, but I especially loved In Spotlight and Shadow. I think that was my favorite of hers that I read this year. I just loved the dual timeline, and I love the tie-in to her first book, The Above the Fold, too. I think that's why I was like, obviously took me back to my first read of hers, and so yeah, that was, you stole that one from me, but it's okay. I'll forgive you. I'm just joking.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
She's so good, though. And she's such a lovely person just to interact with, you know, her posts, and she's fun.
Absolutely. She's so genuine and so kind. And she has a lot going on in her life with her family and everything. And she still, through it all, delivers A+ five-star fiction. And I just love to encourage her when I can, because she's awesome.
Yeah. It's great. I think it's also something I was thinking, if we think of it, to like drop into things that we also want to, not just books that we read, like, but also like things that we want to carry on into the new year. And I think it would be a good idea to like every once in a while drop those notes to those authors, because you never know what they're going through. If the Lord puts that on your heart, you never know what they're at that moment, to give them that encouragement. because it's a lot that they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So that was yours, Kelly. Am I next?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to take a little bit of break. Super serious ones that I've been talking about.
Yeah. Very serious.
All these very serious ones. I don't know.
I need some rom-coms or something from you.
Okay. And I have told you about this one, Alyssa. Desire or Defense by Leah Brunner.
I knew it. I knew it. I was like, it's on my list, but I know Nicole's going to do it, so I'm not going to have to say it. But yes, so good. Oh, so good.
I absolutely loved this one. She has a novella, Passion or Penalty, so you kind of got a glimpse of the hero in this one, and I was already, like, chafing at the bit. I want this book so much. Like, the day it released, I was downloading it off Kindle Unlimited and reading it, and it absolutely delivered. It is a rom-com hockey romance, but it has a lot of heart and depth to it. Was something that really, to me, really clinched it for me. The hero is very much like, it's a grumpy sunshine trope, but I really felt, because you get his, like, really good character, deep point of view of why he is the way that he is. Oh my goodness, you just had to give him a hug. Like, he was just, like, you felt for him and rooted for him and saw him really work through some serious issues. So here I am going serious again. But it also was so funny, the interactions between him and Andy. Like, there was chemistry right off the bat, but it was played off in so many funny ways that it was, to me, the perfect balance of real life, real feeling issues, and that humor with, like, a very protective hero, which I feel like is the big thing about the hockey romance fever. The big protective heroes. I mean, I feel like it's the science, so.
We talk about the audiobook scene. The audiobook scene. Oh, I was dying in the back, dying laughing. And you're right with that one. That's what got me. It was such a funny, similar to Emma St. Clair. I feel like Leah Brunner does that so well. Is there's depth to their rom coms. It's not just this silly, like, you know, fluffy read. He was working through some major problems, and she had a lot of responsibility, you know, with her brother and things. But my goodness, that audiobook scene, I was dying laughing just picturing that, how relatable that would be. And considering he's like this big burly hockey player, the fact that he would be listening to that, it was just so funny. So funny.
Alyssa, without giving away, he starts an audiobook that he thinks is going to be okay, but it's really not a genre that is good for him. And just very, he got a lot more than he bargained for, let's say that. And hilarious, relatable thing of him trying to turn it off before it goes too far and he can't turn it off is just like.
He's like scandalized, you know, he's like mortified, like pushing the button, like, please make it stop. It's so funny. Just so funny. That book was hilarious.
Yeah. That was
I'm
so
excited funny. To read it even more now. Sounds like a January read for me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth a read. And I love how she had the characters really complement each other. Like, and they really grew into it. And I just loved his protectiveness and how, you know, I love so much about that one. Yeah, that was good.
I love the novella too. The novella was great to start with. It got me interested in the whole team, and I love that pairing with the novella. But man, is it Desire or Defense or Defense or Desire? I can't remember. But it blew it out of the water. Just loved it.
Okay, so falling into that one, I cannot wait for Betrothal and Breakaway.
Oh yeah,
that is a character that I'm like. If there's going to be a number two underneath Mitch the Machine, I'm thinking it'll be this one, because I've really liked what I've seen of him in the previous books. I like his, you know, humor. He's pretty steady. You know, he's not like, I don't know. I've really liked his character, and I'm dying to see what she's doing, because she's doing, Alyssa, a modern Marriage of Convenience.
Oh, that'll be good.
This is how I get Alyssa to read books.
I call
Nicole my bookish barkeep because I'm like, it's like I'm sitting at a hypothetical, not real bar, and I finish a book, I close the cover, and I go, barkeep, give me another. I think it was in a meme somewhere, but it's just like, and then she serves me exactly what I am wanting. Like, I tell her, I'm like, I feel like reading this, this, or this, and she's like, read this. And I read it, and it's always fantastic, and I love it, and it's always exactly what I needed. So I call, she has the ability to tell me what to read, and nobody else has that ability.
Although she's I'm still looking for you for that Gold Rush, like, fun light one.
There you go.
I'm looking.
Okay, good.
I'm searching the phones.
Well, I'm going to talk about two that are related.
Okay.
So this year I read a bunch of Michelle Greep's backlist because I met her at the Mississippi River Readers Retreat. Loved it. I've always loved her stuff. She has got a new contract with Bethany House, and I was talking with her at Mississippi River Readers Retreat, and she was telling me about what the story will be, which I don't know that I can, I don't know what's been announced and what's hasn't, so I can't reveal, but okay. It's coming and it's going to be so good. But she also has the third book in the Blackfriars series with Barbara coming out this year. So there was The Thief of Blackfriars Lane and The Bride of Blackfriars Lane. And I think the third one is called The Sleuth of Blackfriars Lane. And love the pacing, action, adventure, romance that she does. And I'm so excited to see what she does in the future. And a lot of, she told me, and it is evidenced in her acknowledgments and stuff, that Mary Lou Tindall was a big influence on her. And Mary Lou Tindall was my favorite author for years. I actually, my first time I ever reached out to an author was on email with her when I was in high school. And I emailed back and forth with her when I was in high school. This is over 10 years ago, let's just put it that way. And she and I talked about her books, and I just adore. She does, just so people who may not know, Mary Lou Tindall was very good at swashbuckling Christian fiction, whether that be privateer or pirate. She's done a lot of things over the years, but I love her swashbuckling stuff. And recently, as in this week, which I immediately sent it to Nicole, has announced two new swashbuckling books that are coming out soon. And she had taken a little bit of a break, and she's coming back with those. And I just don't know if I can contain my excitement.
I know. Like, we are, and they're coming out soon. I think I wrote it down. It's like January.
Yeah. It's like, surprise. This is a great start to your year. And I'm like,
happy birthday. Like, it's just happy Merry Christmas, New Year. Yeah. January 15th, The Resolute will come out. And I am pumped. Alyssa, you said, have you seen this? And I'm like, no, this is like breaking news. Why have we not heard?
Then we fangirled for at least 20 minutes together because I think when we originally met, we bonded over Mary Lou Tindall.
That's true.
And I'm like literally looking at almost all of her books on my shelf. She's got two shelves on my bookshelves because I just love her stuff. It's just so good. And so she's coming out with more. I'm very excited to see what she does. And also excited to see what Michelle Greep does. They are friends. And so I was like, I have to mention one and the other. I'm going to mention them at the same time. So
I remember I started with Mary Lou Tindall, and then I went to Michelle Greep, like, early in the release. And So I've been following her for years, and I was always kind of like, oh, this feels, not that it's copying, but it feels like a Mary Lou Tyndall, but like in more of the Victorian era. Like, it's just like that similar action pacing with the romance, like all those threads to it. I really like both of their styles.
I love both of their styles. They are unique and different.
Yeah.
And in their own ways. But if you like one, you're going to like the other. And so it's evidence, you know, that they have, you know, reviewed each other's stuff, endorsed each other's stuff, helped each other with each other's stuff. So in their, you know, acknowledgments and stuff. So I just love reading both of them. And that's why I was so excited to read the backlist for Michelle Greif this year. And I think this year I need to reread some Mary Lou Tyndall. I mean, they are solid 5-star good rereads. I mean, I'm looking at my shelves right now and I see some very bent up copies that have been with me for 15 plus years that have gotten reread and reread. And so it might get reread again this year.
Yep. Sign of a good book.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to part one of the books that we enjoyed and the books that we're looking forward to in the new year. Part two is available now for your listening, and I hope that you join in and find out more of the books that made such an impact and the ones we just can't wait to read. Thank you.